The sermon this morning comes from Luke chapter 9. Please join me there. We'll start the reading at verse 18. That's Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 18. Luke chapter 9, starting with verse 18, and the he that it's referring to is Jesus. And it happened that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. And he questioned them, saying, "Who do the people say that I am?" They answered and said, "John the Baptist, others say Elijah, but others that one of the prophets of old has risen again." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." But he warned them and instructed them not to tell this to anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day." And he was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Pray with me. Father, help us now as we examine your word and as we give ourselves to your sword. Open our hearts for this surgery, to look and to see the testimony of our lives. If we are announcing that you are the Christ of God, if we are those people who are denying themselves and taking up our cross daily and following you, please bless us now as your light shines into our hearts, to discern the shadow and the weaknesses in our souls and in our hearts, to put off the old man and to put on the new. God, bless us now and meet us. May your word not return void, but may it accomplish good and beautiful things in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are many times in Scripture where Jesus is meeting with the disciples and you have the sense that he carefully looks at them and he asks pointed questions. There was a time where he spoke to Peter and asked, "Do you love me?" And Peter responds, "Yes, you know I love you." He looks at him again and asks again, "Do you love me?" Peter answers, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." He looks at him again and says, "Do you love me?" Peter was grieved in his heart that he had asked him a third time. Here, Jesus throws out a general question. What do they think? Out there, what do they think about me? Giving them the opportunity to begin to expound upon, "Well, they think you're John the Baptist. Ah, they think you're Elijah. They think you're some prophet raised from the dead." But then he pulls it in and asks, "But who do you say that I am?" In this moment here and now in the assembly where Christ meets with you, he sets his gaze on each of you. And he asks you the question, "Who
do you say that I am? Now, there's so much more to this than the confession with our mouths, what we would simply say. This morning in Sabbath school, Titus 1:16 came up. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him. We come to the place where there's this confession or this profession that we all expect to be there in this group. Here in this group, we expect everyone here is going to say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Christ. We would even expect each of us to say, He is the prophet. He is the priest. He is the king. Now, as we announce this truth, as we announce this reality, each of us are going to be challenged this morning to see if we're confessing this with our mouths, but denying it with our lives. Because there is a reality true to a confession of faith. There is a reality, there is a life attached to this profession and this confession. There is a life of affection towards God. Affection with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, with all of our strength. And there's an affection towards one another. And this is that mark of the church, that we know that we have believed in Him when we have love for Him and love for one another that looks like action. It looks like faithfulness. It looks like patience. It looks like not keeping record of wrong. It looks like all of these beautiful things that Christ has demonstrated in His life and all those things that He has expressed in His Word. So the call for you this morning is simply say who He is. Say who He is. This is with your mouth and this is with your life, that you demonstrate that Christ is the prophet and the priest and the king. Our first step is for us to internalize this reality, to reflect on who He is. Verse 20, and He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." I think Peter was in this place where he was ready for this one. It's like that time in Sabbath school when the teacher asked the question, "Who here is perfect?" And one of the children in class say, "Jesus." He was ready for it. He knew it was time. It's time to bring that good answer. Peter, he had known it. Peter had been watching. Peter had been inspired. Peter had been strengthened and encouraged by the presence of Jesus. And he thought, nothing is going to undo us. I in my life will even follow Him to death. So he was ready when Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And he says, "Christ," which means the anointed prophet, the anointed priest, the anointed king. There is a place in our lives for us to be meditating on this reality of who He is. Hebrews 1:3 states it this way, "And He is the radiance of His glory." Can you take time and meditate on that? He is the radiance of His glory. Each of us probably are in a place where we want to get better at different things. We want to accomplish different things. This past week, I've been looking at starting to draw again. I listened to this instructor and he said, what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to sit down for a half hour every day and draw. Now, I want to get better at drawing. That is a reality. It's something I would like to do. The truth is, I would just like to be better at drawing rather than take a half hour and to work on it every single day. How do you build your affection for Christ? We ask for it, don't we? In prayer meeting, we might say,
I would like to love the Lord more, or I would like to pursue Him more. We're asking to just go ahead and be better. We want a deeper relationship, but we would rather He take care of it, rather than to actually do our part in the relationship. Here we see a reality that there must be a pursuing on your part. To love Him with your whole mind, what will that take for you? It's going to take a looking inward and see what you are loving now instead of Him. To have a deeper relationship with Him. Where is your relationship and your affection? Where is your time going now? That's not with Him. To be in that place. To be where He looks at you and He asks, "Who do you say that I am?" And we're ready to say, "You are my prophet. You are my priest. You are my king. This is the place for me." We look and we see that God, as He works on us, there must be that reflection in us, that meditation on His word, that meditation on who Christ is and what He has done. Now, as He comes to this place and as He works in this way, when our faith works in us, there is that expectation, as we saw in Psalm 45, there's an overflow from our lives. There's an overflow of affection that influences the ways that we interact with the people around us. First, our closest neighbors, and flowing out into the various circles in our lives from there. And this brings us to our second step. Ask people who they think Jesus is. We're quite quiet about Jesus generally, aren't we? We're quite quiet about Him even on the Sabbath, in our own circles, in our own conversations. Generally. Brothers and sisters, it ought not to be so. We're quiet about Him in our daily lives throughout the week. Brothers and sisters, it ought not be so. Here, Jesus gives this amazing example, this great opportunity where we could just ask someone, "Who do you think Jesus is?" What a beautiful lead-in for a conversation about how you know Him and who He is to you. He's the Christ, which means the anointed prophet, the anointed priest, the anointed king, which is a full conversation about salvation and justification and relationship. We look and we see in verse 19 that the world is missing it. And people will give answers like, "He's John the Baptist." Others say Elijah, but others say one of the prophets has risen again. Maybe they'll just say He was a prophet. Maybe they'll just say He was a good teacher. And we can answer those things. He was more than a teacher. He was more than a prophet. He is the prophet, priest, and king. The world is missing Him. Our next step, number 3, is to meditate on more than a messenger. Again, verse 19, they answered and said, "John the Baptist," and others say Elijah, but others, "one of the prophets of old has risen again." We're going to take a look at Hebrews 1:1. So although Jesus was a prophet, He is more than a prophet. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days He has spoken to us in His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things. We see His kingship there. "Through whom also He made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory, in the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. Again, in just this section of Scripture, we see Jesus Christ as King, as Lord, as Prophet, who is the radiance of God's glory. And isn't the world missing that? And aren't you missing that? There's a glory that we run after, a comfort that we pursue, a numbness and a distraction that we pursue daily and moment by moment. And I am inviting you to something so much better. Something, someone, so much more fulfilling, rescuing, healing, empowering. It is Jesus Christ who is more than the prophet, who speaks the very words of life and again and again and again demonstrates his great affection for you and his fantastic plans for you. And isn't this exactly what you need and you desire? He's so much more than anything else you can desire on this earth, anything else that you can taste, touch, or swallow, any other place where your affections could go. He is precisely what you need. He comes to us, he speaks to us, and he shows us who he is, the Christ of God, prophet, priest, and king. So now let's look at our lives. And this is one of those delightful times of examination that none of us enjoy. It almost feels like going to the dentist, I think. He comes and he looks and we don't want him there. He takes his pokey thing and he sticks it in our mouth and he pokes us to see where the soft spots are. And we all hate it, and I'm very sorry. But those of us who have avoided the dentist know it's much worse when you don't deal with the symptoms that you have. So we come and we continue to open our heart to God. And the question is, our fourth step, how do you say he is the prophet? It could be the question of, how do you confess it daily? How do you say it to your closest neighbors? Clear out to your furthest neighbors. It'll also come to the question of, how do you listen to him? Day by day, moment by moment. If he is this prophet, are you hearing him? Verse 20, once again, he is the Christ, which is the anointed prophet and priest and king. John 1:18 shows that Jesus is this relationship with the Father. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known, or he has exegeted him. He has explained him. Jesus comes and he makes you to know the Father if you're listening to him. If you're reading about him, if you're meditating on his word day and night, Jesus is unveiling eternal reality day by day, moment by moment. That's an ad that we should put in the paper. Come to our church to see eternal reality unveiled and unfolded every single week. You, as a royal priesthood and holy nation, you who have the Holy Spirit of Christ in you, you who have been given the Holy Scriptures that have been preserved for centuries and centuries, the Holy Scriptures which will never be undone. You have eternal reality given to you, and Christ constantly says, come and sit with me and listen to me. Hear the words of life. Receive the words of life. Psalm 45, again, my heart overflows with a good theme. We can hear Christ speaking this to us. My heart overflows with a good theme. And as we are in Christ Jesus, as His heart overflows and we have the heart of Christ, that'll be the reality for us as well. He will meet you. He will talk to you. He will tell you eternal truth, things that have been veiled from of old. He will give it to you. When you meet with Him, when you listen to His word, when you listen to Him preach, and He is the radiance of His glory in the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. He says, what was? He says, what is? He says, what is to come? These are the beautiful truths that Christ has laid out for you in His word, so that we can say who He is by the way that we listen to Him. Our next step is the question for number 5. How do you say He is the priest? In Luke 9:22, the Son of Man must suffer many things. You could take that piece and you could meditate on it for a week. The Son of Man, that is Jesus, must suffer many things. Why? Why did Jesus have to suffer? Because of your sin and mine. And because of His great love for you. Jesus, being the Christ, being the anointed priest, is this demonstration of our great need and of His great power to meet that need, in His ability to keep the law, and in His love for you. To say He is Christ is to say these things, to say that I needed Him, and to say that He met me in my need. In Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8, which we'll be singing in a little bit, sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. Seems strange, and I imagine the Jews in the older covenant, when they sing that, like, wait a second. What? Why do I keep bringing my lambs here then? Sin offerings you have not desired. Imagine the Jews saying, what? Why do we keep doing this thing then? Why do we have this bloody mess over there? Why do we have this pile of burnt carcasses over there? What is this? You don't desire sacrifice? Why? Well, then the answer is given. Behold, I come. In Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. The sacrifices were pointing to Christ. Christ the priest. This was being brought to you and for you. And this looks like, in our lives, our utter trust in Christ. We are not a people who are seeking to justify ourselves. We do not have to set ourselves up as the right person, the best person that looks down on other people. I have found in my life, and I don't know where this has come from, the need to label guilt and put it on somebody else. I have this need in the, deep down in my being. Something is wrong. I have to take that wrong thing and say, well, this is clearly your fault. Jesus kills that. He demonstrates for us the reality that all mankind is under sin. And then we are in the place of freedom to say, that's right. And I've had a priest who has paid for my sin because he loved me and he gave himself up for me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. We're not to be a snotty people. We're not to be a prideful people. We are a people who live the reality that Jesus Christ is the anointed priest. Our next step is the question, how do you say he is the king? Verse 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and that was his sacrifice, and be raised up on the third day. And this is his demonstration that he's king. That he had power and authority to lay his life down. Power and authority to take it up again. He shows himself as the conquering hero who conquered even death. And that's what we're afraid of. We're afraid of death. I remember when I had gotten the phone call and 2012 that my father was in a terrible car accident and that he had been life flighted to Pittsburgh. And my heart felt like it stopped at that moment. The question was, is my dad going to die? That was where the fear was. We see here Christ as king. He comes in and he conquers death. Does that mean we're all going to live forever? Yes and no, right? We're all going to face the first death. It'll be a reality. But we see that Christ is powerful even over death. That if he wants to rescue us, if that's what's best, he's going to do it. He shows himself as this king who has conquered death. We see he also comes as king, as judge in Acts 17:31. Speaking of the Father, because he has fixed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Acts 2:24, but God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Jesus is the king. He's proven it. He accomplishes the office of king by subduing us to himself. We see the reality that he is the king of our hearts, that he has full authority and power over our hearts. That's why we're here. He has subdued us to himself, and for that we will be eternally grateful. And he conquers all of his and our enemies. That will be the reality. Now the question then is, are you saying that? Or are we woefully silent? We've actually been saved for the purpose of being witnesses. That is, to testify on behalf of Jesus Christ. Christ being anointed prophet, priest, and king. I'm even becoming aware of groups and organizations and individuals who like Jesus all right. Jesus is all right with me, they'll say. But do they know him? The real Jesus, prophet, who speaks eternal reality. Do they know him as priest,
who lived that perfect life and laid his life down for the church? Do they know him as king who has all authority on heaven and on earth? And then the sad question and the scary question is, are you living it in front of them? So that is your testimony. So that you are saying who he is, both with your words and with your deeds. We see this here in Luke 9. Let's look at this one more time. And we'll be getting into it more deeply next week. And he was saying to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is living that testimony that we all make. So there's your question. Who do you say he is? With your confession and your words and with your life. Take this and use it as a pattern for reflection. Take this and use it as a pattern for self-examination. To see if he's the prophet, priest, and king of your testimony and of your life. Pray with me. Our God, we thank you for having spoken to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for having spoken through your Word. We thank you for speaking by your Spirit to us. God, please bless us and may we examine our hearts to see if we are saying who Jesus is with all of our heart. With all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with our words and with our life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.